could not be denied. No, I would not. Lord, I would not. Oh, till Jesus came and he made me whole. I would not. Oh, how about you tonight? Let's sing it. I would not. No, I would not. Oh, till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. No, I would not.
Be denied.
No, I would not.
Be denied.
Well, till Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied.
Chains of death seized on my soul, unto my Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied.
Oh,
I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and he made. As Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord, and answered with a courageous soul. I stood upon his word.
Well, I would not be denied.
No, 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 no.
Jesus came and he made me whole.
I would not be denied. No, 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 I would not be denied.
Be denied.
I would not.
Oh, say about it, church.
Denied.
Be denied.
Well,
till Jesus came and he made me whole. I would not be Oh, Slewfoot said my Lord was gone and he would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, the work is done and Christ is here.
Jesus came, made me whole.
I would not be denied.
Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. He's worthy tonight. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. I'm going to let you be seated just for a second. We're going to look at our prayer requests. Brother Joel, while you're up here, if you'll just pray over these prayer requests tonight. I want to pray for Sister Deanna Glenn. She is homesick tonight, needs a touch from the Lord. Brother Jerry sends that in. Also, we want to remember the family of Wayne Hall, married to a lady that a lot of us know, Madge. Used to be Madge Cook, Dallas Cook's daughter. And he passed away this morning, so we certainly want to pray for that family, that the Lord would be with them during this time of their life. I want to pray for Sister Sherry Wiggins. She had a biopsy done and is expecting results this week. Pray for a good report, so we just commit that to the Lord tonight. Brother Pete Lawson wants us to remember Sister Bambi Lawson in prayer. She became sick on the way to church, had to take her back home, so let's pray for that need tonight. We'll remember Sister Linda Loris in prayer, isn't feeling well, so let's pray for that need. Sister Donna Pistole says to please pray for Sister Estep. She is sick in body and a lot of pain, so let's pray for that need. Here's a testimony. It says, thank you for praying for Brother Albert Short. He is still in the hospital, but improving. Continue to remember him in your prayer. So let's remember that tonight. I want to pray for Brother Phil Gould's mother, Martha Banner. She is not feeling well, so let's pray for that need tonight as well. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need in this assembly, you believe God can heal. You believe God can answer your prayer. You believe he can meet whatever you have need of tonight with all your heart? Let's stand tonight, if you will. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Brother Joel, God bless you, buddy. Stay for me, okay?
Amen. It's good to be here, yes? Amen. One more time to be in that number that's called out, that's been redeemed. I was just listening, coming to church, and the prophet talking about Noah. And he said that he had a religion with salvation in it. But the world scorned it. The world didn't want it. And he bore that reproach. And I want a religion tonight that has salvation in it. Amen. Redemption in it. That's what I'm holding on to. Heavenly Father, we honor you. We give you the utmost seat. We give you the supreme place in this place tonight, Father. And so many times when I enter those doors, God, Heavenly Father, I think of the things that I've heard, the things that I've sensed, the things that I've seen, the things that I've experienced when I've been here. And Lord, when your anointing strikes, when your anointing comes, it's not just the preacher, Father. It's us that pulls on that gift, Father. And Lord, we've heard by the lips of a man tonight some needs. They've fallen upon our ears. And Lord, no doubt they will rest within someone's heart tonight. And so, Father, I pray that the anointing would strike and these individuals would be set free. Somebody, somewhere, for these individuals will get a hold of you and call you on the scene. And quite frankly, it may be somebody that's just listening in tonight. They don't even know you. They don't know the hope of salvation. But I was just listening in Puerto Rico. The prophet was there in San Juan, and a woman came up with a condition. Rather, he called her out in the congregation. She was an unbeliever, and he told her that was good faith for an unbeliever. And then he extended the opportunity of salvation to her. So Lord, it could be somebody out there that don't even know you, that would believe, that would identify with a need. So Lord, we present ourselves tonight as humble servants. Lord, men, women, children, young, old, everyone alike, Father, do something in this place tonight. And may we be, as it were, not so much as it was with the ones on the road to Emmaus. We want that experience. But Lord, may we also be as it was with the shepherds. Lord, when they received that message, when they heard that word, they went and they saw, they felt that pull, and they had to go see what was going on. And so, Lord, the word tells us there in the book of Luke that, Lord, when they returned back, they began to glorify and praise you for the things that they had seen and the things that they had heard. And Anna, that day in the temple, oh God, she took what she had experienced and she began to speak to those people that were looking for hope, that were looking for salvation. And Lord, it doesn't rest in the preacher tonight to go out and save the world. It doesn't rest within the preacher.
Lord. Our neighbors need you, Father. The people that we work with need you. So may something that we receive tonight strike our life, Lord, that would give us a fervor, a zeal, an inspiration to go out and tell just one, if it's just one, Lord, if it's just one that we could tell of the hope that lies within us. So, Lord, we'll glorify you. We pray for the hope and peace of Israel, Father. And we pray that your kingdom would come tonight, O God. May it come tonight. May it be revealed unto us tonight. May you just come. May we be prepared and ready for you when we come back. Doesn't matter what we have to do tomorrow, tonight even. But, Lord, may our hope rest in you. And it's in Jesus Christ's name. You're welcome here. Amen. And amen.
Amen. I just coaching him a little bit there. I tell him not just to sing halfway, to sing with all your heart. So let me make these announcements real quickly for you. Or just one announcement. If you forgot your shoebox tonight, and I think some of you did, that's okay. You can bring it to the church here tomorrow before 12 o'clock or to the coffee company in Elizabethan by Saturday. So if you forgot it tonight, you still got time to get it here tomorrow before 12 or to the coffee company over in Elizabethan by this coming Saturday. So remember that. Let's sing a song tonight. Somebody made this statement here just a while back. I trust it's the truth because I'm going to repeat it. But in the Bible, it's recorded 365 times. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I'm with you. In regard to don't be afraid, it's mentioned 365 times in the scripture. That's one for every day you're in this world. For every day of the year, you've got a command from the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. He's with us. If he's with us, that's all I care about. Let's sing about it tonight. Play it, buddy. Ushers, come.
Take your land. Are you ready to take your land? For the Lord of hosts, thy God, he is surely with thee.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be afraid.
Do not
Walking in faith and in victory. Walking in faith and in victory. Walking in faith and in victory. For the Lord,
my God,
my God,
is
with me. Run into the camp. Tell everybody, get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready.
You better be ready.
Oh, run into the camp. Tell everybody, get ready.
Oh,
get ready. Are you ready to take the land?
Yes, I'm ready.
Are you ready to take this land?
Are you ready?
Are you ready to take your land?
Oh,
for the Lord, thy God is with thee.
Be bold,
be bold,
be strong,
be strong.
The Lord thy God is with thee.
He's with thee.
Walking in faith and in victory.
Walking in faith and in victory. Walking in faith and in victory.
For the Lord
thy God, he is with thee. Run into the camp. Tell everybody that you know you gotta be ready. You got to be ready. Run into the camp. Tell everybody, please, please get ready. Get ready now. Are you ready to take your land? Are you ready? Are you ready to take the stand? Are you ready to possess your land? For the Lord thy God is with thee.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Give him another hand.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it don't mean that we always walk on water. It don't mean that we're always on top of the mountain. Sometimes the mountain's on top of us. But I know this. I'm not nothing to start with, and you ain't neither. But we're serving the God that's everything. If our faith is in us, we are defeated from the get-go. How many of you got faith in Him, though? You believe He'll help you? You believe He'll protect you? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Joel Yance, come here. Brother John Cogman, come here. We're going to do something tonight. These guys wasn't ready for it, but we're going to let them do it anyway. Through the fire. How many of you ready to go through the fire? How many of you know that if He goes in there with you, you'll come out with that one sin, Johnny? He's God tonight, church. You love Him. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's have, Brother John, I want you to play the guitar over here. I don't know if you've ever played electric or not, but you're going to learn how tonight. If you haven't, I'm sure you can. I want you to give these guys a hand as they sing this song. Let's help them tonight. You believe God's going to go through the fire with you. Praise the Lord. Let's sing about it, boys.
Times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one time. rest alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on, our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
Oh, I know within myself that I will surely perish, but if I trust shield the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fire. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on, our Lord will show.
Specials tonight. We're going to bypass the specials. Let these guys do a course. Brother Donnie will come out to bring us the word tonight, or somebody ever who's preaching. I guess Brother Donnie is. I'll get you specials this weekend. I promise. Chalk it up to me. This is just what we feel like doing right now. Sing that course one more time. We may go through the fire before we meet here again this weekend, but we got a big daddy. We got a big papa. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise.
He never
promise that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. I know you'll show up and he will take you through the fire again.
Just hold on, our Lord will show up
and he will take you through the fire again.
Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 32, verse 21.
Praise the Lord.
So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you tonight, Lord Jesus, we're so grateful. We just heard our brothers singing it, Lord. The things you allow your people to go through. We know that people of the world, people that never even serve you, they have sickness, problems, troubles in life. But the difference between theirs and ours is when you allow us to go through things, you always bring us out on the other side and we get something good out of it. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to be mindful of your presence, that you're watching over us. Dear Jesus, I hold in my hand tonight, Father, a prayer call for Brother Eugene Kennedy. You see, Lord, he's been having a real struggle in his body. Father, I pray and I join my faith tonight with the saints of God here for our brother. Lord, been losing weight and dear Jesus, we just ask you that you'd move for him. Lord, they've done so many different tests and so many different things and seemingly can't find what our brother's trouble is. But Lord Jesus, we know the devil might hide from the doctor, but he can't hide from you. May the presence of God, I pray, be with our brother, Lord. May you strengthen him and help him. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Trust you're happy to be together again tonight in the presence of the Lord. Where were we last Wednesday night? Wasn't it something about the stars and the oleander that was moving in the wind? The family had been sent across the river. The presents had all been allotted out. The messengers were all instructed. And Jacob in the night heads back to be alone. So he thinks. He is on the north side of the river. And the north is a very special place to God. So Jacob, in this beautiful spot where this is located, here the oleander, which is a shrub tree type of thing that gets 5 to 6 feet tall, evergreen, poisonous leaves, long cylinder type leaf, park type of setting coming down to where the river comes to two places. They know exactly where Jabbok is to this day because it's where two rivers come together and meet. Incidentally, the word Jabbok means emptying. So the name itself has a significance to what is fixing to happen. It's amazing to me how God views things, how God looks at things. Here at the emptying or the pouring out, he is fixing to do something for this man that he's needed done for a long time. But yet God has a season to do things. We know that the time must be right, the word must be right, but there's a season by which things must also work and coincide together. And really the season of this had just arrived. It couldn't have been a more appropriate time than what there is. Everything is just right. The pressure from Esau, knowing that he's coming with 400 men, hearing that he's over 400 men within itself would be enough to scare a man, representing that Esau was a chieftain. Hearing that he had moved now to Seir, the land of Edom, he had got his inheritance, that within itself would also be enough to alarm you. Knowing that the difficulty, the trouble that they had never been resolved, that would be some more. Looking at the women, the children, had Jacob gone to meet him on his own, it wouldn't be near as much to be lost. But he has all these wives, he has these children, he has all these flocks and herds and everything that is going on. The man has so much on his mind. Even when he mentions to God in prayer, he says, Lord, I'm afraid that he will come and slay the mother with the child. And he doesn't mention so much about himself, but yet we know that no doubt he was concerned about himself. And in that time of desperation is when many times God is able to really break and move in our hearts. Watch this in verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. Now he does this no doubt thinking within his mind that he'll go there and spend some time. He's going to pray. He's going to ask God. He knows he needs God's help. But really, he doesn't know how he needs it. He doesn't really know what he needs. I'm convinced that's the way we are a lot of times. He knows that he needs God's help, but you can tell from the petition that he's praying that he's not really praying because he recognizes his need of being changed himself. Because he's not asking God to change him. He's asking God to help him and save him from the hand of Esau. He's not even asking God to make him a different person. Now, this is a problem. You see, the problem is not Esau. The problem is not the Edomites. The problem is not that. The problem is actually Jacob himself. But Jacob is asking for help, but he's simply asking God to save him and leave him the way that he is. Because he does not see his great dire needs that he has in his own walk. But never fear, God's fixing to show it to him. Amen. Now what a peculiar way for God to deal with a man in this way. Now let's just kind of lay it out like this, that Jacob has now come back across the brook. Maybe he's drying his garments, wringing the water out of them. He's kind of trying to calm down a little bit, wants to get a few hours of rest before he's going to meet his brother the next morning. Everything is kind of calm across the river. He can hear the lowing of the cattle, the bleating of the sheep, the noises that the camels and the kine would make during the night. And he can hear the rippling of the brook Jabbok, and he can hear the rustling of the wind as it's coming through the oleander bushes and many of the plants that were around that were more of a tropical type setting being near the Jordan Valley. No doubt it was a beautiful place. And Jacob in this, and it's all alone. And he thinks he's all there by himself and he's going to spend the night. No doubt he thinks quite a restless type of night, praying and asking God to move and asking God to change Esau. And God, I pray you'd get a hold to Esau and move on Esau's heart. God, make Esau a different man. Make Esau a man that will see that he really needs you. Of course, he's not spending all that time praying about him because he thinks he's a pretty good sort of fella.
The impressive silence that would have been around a place like this would have been probably deafening had it not been for the low sounds that was coming from nature around him and from the brushing of the brook and the little bit of gentle breeze that would have been moving through the trees. But then all of a sudden he hears something, a rustling in the bushes, that he knows by the sound of this that it is more than just the wind. He knows by the way that it is moving that it is more than just the wind coming down through the oleander. It is more than just a little bit of breeze picking up. It is not the rippling of the brook emptying out, but it's a different type of sound. Now, he slept out in the open a lot. No doubt he slept out in the wilderness a lot whenever he was a shepherd. So he was very much aware of the night sounds. But this was a sound unlike what he wanted to hear. And I imagine that his senses being so keen to the night sounds anyway. But he knew that there was something different about this. So you imagine as he begins to think in his mind and this sound is getting closer. He knows it's not really an animal because an animal being four-legged, he was familiar with that type of sound. Any of you brothers that's been out, maybe even some of your sisters, when you hear a four-legged animal walk, they walk a lot different and their sounds produce a different sound than a two-legged man. Depending on the animal itself. So he was very familiar with how this would sound and he knew this was not an animal. He knew this sounded more like an upright type of creature, something with just two legs. So here the natural soothing, calming sounds that are around him now become in the background and he becomes on high alert because something is alarming him. And now he can hear as this presence is coming near him. And then the Bible says it this way, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now remember his prayer was, God, I pray you would save me from my brother Esau. Now here God is actually answering his prayer in a most peculiar way. God knows that before he can save Jacob from Esau, that Esau must first defeat God. Well, that went over about like I thought it would. Now think, he's asking God to save him from Esau. But God knows what Jacob really needs is a wrestling match with Christ. Because Jacob is not focusing on the right thing. He's looking at Esau. Esau is the problem. Esau is the trouble. Esau is this. I'm going to tell you something, friend. As long as you and I in our lives, it's your wife, it's your children, you know, whatever more, we'll never get what we need to be with God until we can be able to see a lot of our problems is us. That's right. Now this is where Jacob is. Now watch him. So in order to save him from Esau, it's necessary that God must meet him and oppose him. And Jacob must exert all of his energy in wrestling against the angel of God. Now if he can prevail against God, there will be no man that can ever stop it. Now, I know I'm saying a mouthful and you're listening good. That's all right. I don't mind you being quiet. He must first meet God and God must first meet him as an enemy. God is not now coming as an angel with the softest hand as he sent to Elijah. He's not now coming as he will come to Moses years later in the burning bush. He's not coming as he did to Manoah. He's not coming as he did to other theophanic appearances because this is what not what is needed. If he would have actually come to Jacob as an angel with the softest hand and fixed Jacob a meal and consoled Jacob, Jacob would have remained in the state of Jacob. But Jacob needed to be changed. So God had to meet Jacob as an enemy. Don't you understand why we need hard preaching sometimes and why our hides got to be burnt? Don't you know why God's doing that to us? Because God wants to meet us that way in order to help us. If he comes to us every service and sends the angel with the softest hand and bread and wine, my butter and dessert and all that sort of thing, it'll convince us that we don't need to move up and we don't need to get closer to God and we don't need to lay aside the carnal things that hang on to us so many times. It's as if God meets us in service as if he were our enemy. I hope y'all understand this. So in order to be saved from Esau, he must meet God as an enemy, as an opponent. So God is not coming to him and caressing him and giving him a massage, rubbing his feet and his oil, you know, and taking his toes and rubbing him on down. Oh my, Jacob is just as loose as a goose. I mean, he's just coming all apart. But God comes to him, ha, ha, ha. You say, Lord, what a way to greet a man. That's what he needed. Well, praise God. I'm convinced Donnie needs that sometimes as well. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say it for you because some of y'all still ain't amen to me. Y'all need it sometimes too. Now, if he must first overcome God. He must first overcome God. Then if he can overcome God, there'll be no man that'll be able to stand in his way. Now God knows this. So God meets him in this way. You know, we know it's when we get alone with God that such wonderful things happen. It amazes me again in the way that God will meet his people. You take Abraham, that God came to Abraham in a way that Abraham could identify him. Abraham was a sojourner. Abraham was a stranger. So, you know what mask that God came on, that God put on to meet Abraham? He came to him as a stranger. He came to a stranger as a stranger. Joshua was a general. So he come to Joshua as the captain of the Lord's host. Glory. Jacob was a wrestler. He had been wrestling with Esau, even in his mother's womb. He wrestled with Esau. He wrestled with Laban. He wrestled with so many things. So what did God do? In this corner is the Almighty, weighing from eternity to eternity. In this corner is a mortal man that's fixing to get his lights beat out of him. That's right. But you know what God done? God met the wrestler in the form of a wrestler. Hallelujah. God met the pilgrim in the form of a pilgrim. Guess what? How do you figure God's going to meet a bride? In the form of a bridegroom. Woo! Glory to God. That's why we will not see him as a priest. We will not see him as a lawyer. He will meet us according to the dispensational claim that we need, which is husband. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You imagine now, as this being gets closer, it looks like a man. It has hands, arms, muscles, sinews, bones, eyes, mouths, ears, hair, breath, vernacular. He could speak verbal words, say things that Jacob could understand, which would have been Hebrew. And he begins to grab a hold of Jacob. And they begin to wrestle. Now, I've never wrestled. I'm not a professional wrestler, but I've done a little bit of looking at it today. And I found out that for many of these wrestlers, one reason that they have to break up the sessions and they'll have rings or bouts or whatever they call them, is because it can be so strenuous that if you're putting forth all of your effort, that it can so wear you out. Can you imagine now that Jacob and this man go all night long? They are going all night long. Now, they're not taking Coke breaks and sitting over on the side drinking Coke and eating honey buns. But they are going all night long. Now, what? Why? What is the reason? You see, the significance of even the length of the wrestling match proves how strong that Jacob really was. Now, he's strong, but he's strong in a negative way. I believe the match could have lasted no more than 5 minutes if Jacob would have surrendered. The reason that it must go on so long is because Jacob is so stubborn. I know some of you think in your mind that Jacob was wrestling that long for the blessing. You've got that backwards. He does not ask for the blessing until he realizes he's wrestling with a supernatural being. He is not wrestling all night for that blessing. He's wrestling all night because of his pride and his strength and his arrogance, because he is Jacob. Praise the Lord. Now look at us. How many of us have wrestled and wrestled and wrestled many years of our life with things that we just have a hard time giving up and letting go and let God taking over? That God, why are you waiting? He's waiting on us many times. It's not him. It's not that it takes him that long. Now, I want you to imagine now, this is not God in the form of the Shekinah, but this is God in the form of a theophany, which is Christ. A different form than was manifested accordingly to the book of Judges to Manoah, and which the angel of the Lord did miraculously and ascended up into the pillar of fire, the sacrifice. It's not quite the same form that come down in the pillar of fire into the bush, but it is in a form that would be so tangible that if you were standing there, you could grab a hold of it, and you could kick it, and you could pinch it, and you could punch it. Now you imagine Christ suffering this. Oh, what a symbolism of redemption. Because this night is going to be the night of Jacob's redemption. Now, Jacob had seen the angels of God, and that did not redeem him. Jacob had named that place Bethel. He'd seen the hand of God by dreams and visions. He'd gained cattle and sheep and all that, and that had not changed Jacob. But this night, he's going to be a changed man. And in order to be a changed man, Christ had to condescend to such a level and allow Jacob to wrestle with him. Now, Christ could have broke his leg. He could have spoke him out of existence. He could have touched the sinew on his thigh long before he did. But you know what? He knows how much time we need. And he knows how to press the issue right before the rising of the sun. Woo! Glory! I'll tell you, friend, the rising of the millennium sun is just about here. So if I was you, I'd let go before you start feeling some shrinkage on your leg. Because if you're pressed and holding it up, he will force the issue on you, Jacob. Oh, my. Now, you, the Son of God, this pre-type of his existence coming forth in a human form. Now, it was not a spirit. Now, you take your hand and pass through it, but it was actually a man. A man that subjected himself. Now, watch this in Hosea chapter 12, verse 3. The Bible says, let me read this verse in Genesis 22:25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now, the angel Christ saw that he prevailed not against Jacob. Now, he allows himself to be subjected under the ability of this man to wrestle. Can you imagine now the Logos of God condescending to such a place in a human form that he would allow a mere mortal man without supernatural power, and he would allow that man to overpower him and keep him there to the break of the day? Why? He was determined to redeem Jacob. Now, could he not have forced the issue and said, hey, I'm going to do this myself? No, Jacob must wrestle it out. Jacob must be totally exhausted of everything that he is and everything that he has. And it proves that he was very strong by making this thing go on all night long. The strength I'm not talking about is just in his muscles and his frame and structure, but in his will. Jacob's will was so strong, he was not going to let this go. But he's not just wrestling with a man. He's wrestling with himself about himself. Do you understand what he's wrestling about? He is wrestling with Christ about himself. Jacob is not wrestling with Christ about Christ, but Jacob is wrestling with Christ about Jacob. He don't want to let this go about Jacob and let that go. Come on, children. Oh, I hope somebody's going to hear me tonight. Don't you understand? Actually, you become a Christian and filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the battle of your life. This is the battle of our existence, Brother Dow. Our feelings, our emotions, what I believe. And this is my opinion. And this is what I think. And this is the way I think it should do. Don't you understand what you're doing? You are wrestling with Christ about Skip. Or you're wrestling with Christ about Jim. Or you're wrestling with Christ about Donnie. That's what we do as individuals. And then we wonder why it takes so long. Why not further up the road? It's our fault that this thing goes on. It don't have to go this long. Oh my. Notice this. And when he saw he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now let's skip down here and read in Hosea chapter 12 verse 3. Speaking about Jacob again, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel. He had power. Now we know there is no way that this could happen unless the angel subjected himself to human power. You understand what I'm saying? This is a mirror reflection of the plan of redemption. Jesus said, you would have no power over me except my Father gave it to you. Don't you understand why Christ? Can you imagine Christ? The great, powerful, omnipotent Logos of God, but he subjects himself and lets Jacob have power over him. But why? What is the reason that Jacob needs that power? He needs the power so it'll coax him to keep wrestling. Keep wrestling. Why? Till he's all beat out, till he's totally wore out. And when he reaches that spot, all it takes is one little touch from that angel, which he could have done 5 seconds after the wrestling match started, and he could have done the same thing he done in the end of the next morning and ended the whole thing. But then the reason he could do it was Jacob was wore slap out. Oh my. Notice Hosea said, yeah, he had power over the angel and prevail. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts is his memorial. So here the angel Christ wrestles. And you imagine they're not playing touch football. All right, you got it. Now run, run, run. Touch, you're it. And then Jacob takes off running. Touch, you're it. And then Christ takes it. I would grab some brother here and get him up here and we'd dack through this thing, but I don't want to hurt nobody. No volunteers, I imagine. I mean, they're going around and around, and Jacob threw Christ on the ground. There lay Christ. Then Christ get back up again and punch Jacob. Man, they go back and forth and back and forth. You say, Christ, Brother Donnie? Pilate's hall wasn't the first time he allowed himself to be hit. Why? He's doing it in order to redeem Jacob from Jacob. You imagine Jacob just roars right back. Oh! Roars up, just hit Christ right in the face. It was not an angel in an angelic form. It was a man. And he wrestled, and he wrestled, and he wrestled. No doubt pretty proud of himself. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. So they go, and they go, and they go. And all of a sudden, Christ just reaches over and like that. And when he does, the sinew that ties Jacob's leg into the hip bone, where it goes into the socket right here, just phoom, dries up. Just like that. Now, an ordinary man wrestling with you might break your arm, might pull a muscle, but an ordinary man can't dry something up from within. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Now they're wrestling. Christ prevails not. Jacob prevails most of the night. Jacob is winning this match most of the night. Imagine if we could see our scorecard, however they do wrestling and boxing. I've never done any of it, so I don't really know too much about it. But I imagine on my name, I'll probably look like the winner. I'll probably knock Jesus out. I've hit him. I've left him on the floor breathless. I've blacked his eyes, bloodied his nose, hit his mouth. I've gone over in the corner and I've stood around and danced around. And I've won several rounds. And he won none. The Bible says he prevailed not against Jacob. So Jacob was winning. Sort of. I mean, it's one of them strange type of deals that you're winning, yet you're losing. Do you understand? As long as we are winning, we're actually losing. But if we can ever lose, we win. Glory! Glory! As long as Jacob was winning, he was losing. So Christ suffered himself to be defeated. Lick after lick. Bout after bout after bout. Until the day started breaking. By this time, the scripture says when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. That is the thigh bone. And it was moved out of the hollow place where it was. I love the way Brother Ram says this. Watch, he touched his thigh and Jacob walked different. Amen. I hope that goes way down home. When you wrestle with God, you'll walk different after that. Watch, on the other side of the brook of the little river, he was a strong, great man, backslidden though, away from God, running from his brother, running from God. Oh my, but stout and sturdy. And then on the other side of the brook, a limping prince. Hallelujah. Notice how Brother Ben projects him now. He's backslid from God. He's running from God and running from Esau. God wants him to overcome Esau, but first he's got to overcome God. And the way he's got to overcome God is that God will allow himself. Oh, friend, can you imagine how much of our nonsense and trash that God puts up with? How much of our belly aching, all our immaturity of this and that and the other that we bring before the throne of God, and yet he's so loving and so kind and so merciful, he'll send preacher after preacher to deal with issues in our life that is as trivial as a can of cat food compared to eternity, but it shows his mindfulness of us. And he deals with us in our triviality as human beings and our carnal things and all my things that really have no eternal value whatsoever. But yet because he is determined to get us. Oh my. And he will wrestle with us. He will wrestle. He will go this way and that way because of our needs in order to get you in the corner. And he's going to slam dunk you. My brother Abraham said, thou art a prince before God, for you have power with God as a prince. A limping prince. He limped all of his life. How God does things. Isn't he marvelous? You realize all of God's children are wrestlers. Right. Song of Solomon chapter 6 verse 13 says, return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will we see in the Shulamite? What will we see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. Now the Shulamite was the bride. What will we see when the Shulamite returns? return Shulamite back to the faith of the original fathers. And when she does return, what do we see? We see two armies. Oh my, don't get quiet on me now. You see, we also are in Mahanaim. And that is two camps. The camp of the angel of God. Let me bring it on down to you as an individual. Not only was Mahanaim was a place. Mahanaim is a condition. And Mahanaim is identified as an individual that is born from the presence of God. Because in them is an identity from the camp of heaven. And in them is also an identity of the earthly births. So in you is a Mahanaim. If you are the Shulamite, there is a wrestling match going on, your soul against your flesh. Two armies. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So all the people of God are wrestlers and professional, may I say. And Genesis 32:26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Now look at Christ. Jacob has got either a neck hold on him, or he's got his hands back like this with his arms, and he's pulling on Christ. He said, let me go. Let me go. And it must have been about then, as the morning wind cooled down through the oleander, and the day began to rise, and he saw this man's face for the first time. Then is when he says, I'll not let you go. Do you bless me? Now right here, something changes. He was not wrestling all night for the blessing. He was wrestling all night to stay what he was, but to save him from all of his troubles and let him remain the same person. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. He, Christ, said, let me go. And he said, Jacob, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob now realizes who it is. And to be honest with you, I don't understand how the man, after he knew who it was, how could he have still held on to him? I mean, I'm thinking, if I'd known it had been Jesus, I'd have passed out. I'd have been laying over in the oleander kicking like I don't know what. I said, what have I done? I've been wrestling with Jesus all night long. When am I ever going to realize that's what I've been doing most of my life? Come on, children. As a preacher, I wrestle with God. I don't want to preach that. God, I don't want to say that. God, I don't want to say that. Please, God, don't make me say that. What am I doing? I'm wrestling with him at the Ford J-Bock. You wrestle with him. God, I don't want to do this. God, please don't make me that. God, I don't like that. Don't you understand? Even after we're Christians, we spend so much of our time wrestling with God. Oh, but friend, it must be getting close to about the break of the day. Because by the word we're hearing preached, it seems like he's letting the sunlight hit that precious face of his. And we are seeing him like we've never seen him before. And when we do, I believe it'll hit us and we'll realize it's Christ in our midst. If God can ever get you as a church to a place that you get in your mind that preachers are preaching at you and they're throwing things at you, if God could ever get you to a place that God has gifted men in this hour that can preach what you talked about coming to church, what you talked about in last night or night before last, and if you can get it out of your mind that that's not them men throwing things at you, but it's actually God. And you wrestle, well, I don't like that. I didn't care for that. I didn't like that. Don't you see what you're doing? You're right back at Jabbok again, wrestling and sorting. Well, I don't like, I didn't understand that, so I'm going to trash it. I don't know, just because you don't understand it don't mean it's not of the Lord. Praise God. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Now it's not that Christ does not know his name, but he wants Jacob to tell him what he is. The question is not who, but what. Many people are known by who. I'm a Christian. I'm a message believer. I go to Happy Valley. That's who. I'm not interested tonight just in so much who, but I want to know what is your name. Not who is your name, but what is your name? Your character. What is your name? Now, you imagine by now something has begun to dawn on Jacob. By the way that Jacob answers this. Now watch, Christ has wrestled and he's wrestled and he's wrestled. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. When God asks us what is our name, he is asking us what lies behind the name. What are you? Amen. Not who. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. That's all verbal. That's just words. But what is your name? Because in the Hebrew, Shem, for name, the word there means your character. So when God was saying, what is your name? What is your character? Tell me what you are. I'm a supplanter. I'm a wrestler. I'm a deceiver. I'm this and that. Why? God is going to help him. And God is going to change him. But first, he must acknowledge what he is. Oh my. Before Christ can change him, the name changer is there. Let me tell you something. That name changer is right here tonight in this building. But he can't change us as long as we're hiding behind who and avoiding the question of what. At least Jacob had come to a spot now to where he's willing to just lay it all out. What is your name? I'm a deceiver. I'm a supplanter. I deceived my daddy. I deceived my brother. I tried to deceive Laban. What's he doing? He's asking, he's answering, what is your name? Tell me, what is your character? Oh, my name is Jacob. My name is craft. My name is deceiver. My name is cunning. Boy, y'all was shouting a while ago. You entered into the pouting stage now. Finally, at last, he owned up to it. I'm earthly. I'm carnal. I need help. Oh, glory, I need help. That's what my name is. My mama and my daddy gave me that name of Jacob, but my name is what I am, and I have been all of this, but now I realize I need to be changed. So let me ask you tonight, present in this service, and those of you that will hear this service, if God asks, what is your name? What will some of you answer? My name is money. My name is lust. My name is gossip. My name is pornography. My name is fussing and fighting and growling and bitterness and temper. Oh, come on now, y'all getting quieter and quieter. Now I'm not talking about, oh, I'm a Christian. That's who? That's a label. I want to know what your name is. What do your children think about you? What do your husband think about you? What does your wife think about you? Not the brothers and sisters that meet you out here. And you put on that Happy Valley smile. And they think, oh, what a Christian. I want to know what your name is. Oh, my name is money. My name is profit. Not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, but P-R-O-F-I-T. My name is cheat. My name is dishonest. Preach, Brother Donnie. My name is lust. My name is troublemaker. Now children, do we want to be helped or y'all want to walk back out of here still praying for Esau? What do y'all want? What do y'all want out of church tonight? What'd you come to church for? Praying for Esau? Oh, God, have mercy on Congress. They're a bunch of devils. God, have mercy on them denominations. They're a bunch of devils. God, I pray you bless me and my four and no more, because you understand, God, I'm about the best thing you've got in heaven. Come on, get next to yourself, Jacob. Whew. Sisters, what's your name? Worldliness? My name is Scissoratus. My name is Maybelline. Or Mabel for short. Woo! My name is Max Factor. My name is Sexy. My name is this, that, or the other. No matter why, I'm a Christian though, but I'm not, but I'm talking about what is your name. Don't you understand? The bride is not just a title to the elect. It is a disposition given to her by God of her indwelling character. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody can claim to be bride, but if what is your name? If you are bride, you are the Word. If you are bride, you are the elect. If you are bride, you've got the Holy Ghost. What is your name? Ananias. What is your name? Sapphira. What is your name? Oh my, we could go on for a long time on this, couldn't we? Hallelujah. But you see, the name changer is in the midst. You imagine by now, Brother Darrell, as Christ stands there, and there must have been a break in the reflection of the persona, the way he's now revealing himself to Jacob, whenever he steps back from that realm of humanity to allow himself to be punched and hit and wrestled all night long, and then all of a sudden he steps back and he says, what is your name? Amen. You understand, when you tell someone your name, they have an element of control over you. Before, they didn't know who you were. You tell them where they go to church, they even have more control over you. Well, we might be able to start passing out fake IDs. Maybe have a carry two IDs, one for here and one for some denomination somewhere. Not me. I want one ID, that's the word. But when you tell somebody your name, it gives them an element of control, especially in this day. They can Google you. Oh my. They can find your address. They can do all kinds of things. Look in the phone book. So when you surrender your name, your identity, your address, your social security number, it gives them an element of control over you that they did not have before. Because without that, they don't know where you come from, where you live, you know, all that sort of thing. So when Jacob is giving not only the name, but what the name is, he is, oh glory, he is now moving under the submissive stage of Christ, which he has never been in all of his entire life. Because everything he's submitting about himself and being honest from his heart, lay aside all the facade, lay aside all the acting, lay aside all that sort of thing, and let's just be real honest. And when Jacob does that, oh, I don't know if he realized it yet or not, but he's standing in the presence of the name changer. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. You understand now, whenever Jacob says this, Jacob, for the first time in his life, meets Jacob. You know, people who say they meet the Lord and don't really meet themselves, I can't help it. I question their experience. Because if they say they've met God and never really met their self in a twofold manner, I have a hard time believing they've really met God. Because when Jacob met Christ, Jacob met Jacob, and then Jacob met Israel. Woo! Glory! Not only did Jacob meet Christ, but Jacob met Jacob and Jacob met Israel. He didn't know Israel existed, but Christ did. I didn't know I had a predestinated part. I didn't know I had representation. But once I really met Christ, the revealed word for this day, not only did I meet Donnie, I met the real Donnie. Oh, glory. Can't you see the significance and the value, friend, of us meeting Him? It's not just meeting Him so we can know Him in a better way. It's so we can know ourselves. Jacob, for the first time, met Jacob. No doubt there was little things about himself that he thought, well, you know, I mean, I probably could be a better person, I suppose. I mean, if 100%, if that's what perfection is, I mean, no doubt I'm at least 99.7, so there's always room for me to move up, even me, I suppose. But when Jacob met Christ, Jacob met Jacob and he began to see how far he was. He really was. So, sir, you've told me what you are. So now answer me this. Are you going to continue or do you want to continue to live up to that name? Now, Christ answers this himself in his divine providence, of course. He knows that Jacob is every true son or daughter of God. Whenever we see ourselves and then we look at ourselves, what am I going to do now? Am I going to remain this way or am I going to allow God to change me? Now watch in verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. He needs a new name. Now what's amazing about this is, God does not eliminate the name Jacob. Now you'd think by reading this and the way that that it phrases this, thy name shall be no more Jacob. But yet he was called Jacob for the rest of his life, and so was his children. So who's God talking to? Somebody wasn't going to be called Jacob no more. I thought y'all would be turning the benches up, but now. Oh my. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. So to impose a name, can you imagine who does this person think he is? Jacob has been called this all of his life. He's 90 something years old now. He's been called this all of his life. So who does this person think he is by saying you need a different name? You're not going to be called church no more. I'm going to call you bride. So to impose a name change was a significant sign. And no doubt, whenever this began to all come together, that Jacob began to think, wait a minute. Didn't this happen to my grandfather? Didn't this happen to my grandmother? It's the same one. It's the name changer. Woo! I said it's the name changer. Oh, glory to God. It ain't going to be long. He's going to change not only my name, but my address. You know how it is when you get ready to move from one place to the other and you go online or you go down to the post office and you say, sir, I'd like a change of address package. And they give you certain things and say, well, you contact this and you contact that. And we won't go to the post office, but we'll hear from our theophany and the theophany will say it's time to change addresses. Why? It follows a heart change, a soul change, a name change. The change of a name indicates a new walk, a new disposition, a new character. Jacob's name from this point on will run twofold. The name Jacob will still exist, but under the new name Israel, will have the covenant blessing of God. It's the blending of contradictions. Now watch how God blends this. Now, all these years he's been Jacob, 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 Jacob. And it's not like he dropped the name of Jacob and Jacob is never used again. But once Jacob receives the new birth in tithe, it does not eradicate all of Jacob. But it's actually emerging, so now it is a contradiction of names. Oh Lord. Was a contradiction of natures. When you were in the world, oh my, all of you loved the world. Your soul, your spirit, your body. But when you become born again, what did it do? It introduced to you the same thing it did to Jacob. It introduced the contradiction of natures. So you're still called Reagan or Smith or Brown or whatever you are. And that's your earthly identity. But now your soul is called by its heavenly name, the Word. You're able to hear your wife call, your mama call, your baby call. But at the same moment, the Spirit of God, you could hear from your theophany at the same time. Oh, what is it? The merging together of two contradictory names. Here, so this man is still called Jacob, supplanter, deceiver. And he's called Prince with God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You realize, friend, every soul needs a new name. But some souls will never get it. Every person needs a new name, a new identity. But everyone won't get it. So it's a symbol of a new life, a new walk. But does it eradicate the humanity that is left? It is still there. Praise the Lord. Now thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. So the old name is not abandoned, but now the new name simply brings in the new walk, which is now a contradiction of those two natures now merging together. Now I ain't preaching two souls. Don't get all nervous and tore up. Because if you're truly born again, that old nature of yours is dead. You can't have two natures at one time in your soul. You can forget it. And if you got the Holy Ghost, you will bring this body subject to the Word. But it don't mean the body will like it. You may tell your body, body, we're going to church. And the body say, I don't want to go to church. I said, I never asked you. I need some feet to put on that gas pedal and that brake pedal. And God gave me these feet and you're taking me to the house of God. I need a key to turn on the car. I need eyes to watch the turn signal. I need a left hand to turn the turn signal and a right hand to put it in gear. We're going to the house of God. Well, when I get there, I ain't clapping my hands. Oh, yes, you are. Because when I go to the house of God, I am a participator. I am not a spectator. I am a participator. And I need hands to clap. I might need some feet to dance around. I might need a voice to holler through. So when we go to the house of God, you're going to obey me, body. You imagine your old body saying, and what do I get in exchange for it? Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to lead you to a change. I'm going to lead you to a change. So do you want to go or not? I think I do. I think I do. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Jacob. It's amazing when you look at the play on these words of Jabok and Jabok, Jacob. For as a prince, thou hast power with God. You'll no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. In the words, more literally is, thou hast had power with God and you will prevail with men. Lord have mercy. So here is Christ. Looking at a former man who was off on temperament, terrible, deceivable, all kind. But after this one wrestling match, he's a world champion. Some of you wrestle with Christ one time, and you gain power with God, and there'll never be able to be another man that'll ever stop you. Which corner do I go in? Which corner do you want me, Lord? Oh, my. Jacob gained power because he prevailed. He lost the battle, but he won the victory. Isn't it amazing? This does not equate, does it? Actually, if Jacob would have won up into the day and have never let Christ go, and Christ would have actually just disappeared, Jacob would have won, but he would have never won. He would have won the battle, but he would have lost the victory. But because Christ had been sent to the earth to redeem Jacob, he took beats and bruises and all that sort of thing on Jacob's behalf. He was not going to leave the earth in this work of redemption without changing Jacob. He come to this earth and suffered beats and bruises for you and I. But brother, sister, he did not leave in defeat. He left in a victorious manner. Why? It was to complete the work of redemption. Oh my. Like Paul, who had his own battle, Jacob become strong only when he became weak. Look at this scripture, Genesis 32:29. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." You understand what we're reading here? This is termed the crippling that crowns. The crippling that crowns. We all need these cripplings that crown. There won't be a son or daughter of God that will march before that great parade that day of the procession of the Almighty's children that in the sense won't be crippled one way or another. I'm not talking about your glorified body. I'm talking about you walking up to that spot where you dealt with your family, your children, reproach somehow. But that crippling will lead to your crowning. Now Jacob, in turn now, asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." Notice he doesn't ask what. "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he, Christ, said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" I would have thought by now, Philip, you would have known me. You mean after I've done what I've done and you still don't know me? Oh, may I ask you that tonight? Tell me, who is it that has done all these things for you? If you're wondering if you're his, if you're saved, if you're a bride or whoever you are, well, why would you ask after who has wrought these things in your life? You're wanting to know if you're saved. You're wanting to know if you belong to the kingdom of God, to the economy of God. Pray tell me, who is it that could change your life but the Lord God himself? Who is it that has done for you only what he can do? You, every one of you, my Lord, children, every one of you tonight that have walked very far at all in God, you have got his fingerprints all over your life. Oh, hallelujah. I said you have got his fingerprint all over your life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You want to check me for evidence? Bring your magnifying glass. You'll look from the top of my head down through my soul, down into my spirit. You're going to see Jesus' fingerprints all over me. I don't belong to the devil. I ain't got the devil's fingerprints on me. I got the fingerprints, the bloody fingerprint of the Lord Jesus. I am his work. The name of God denotes His nature. His essence. His character. Imagine he answers Jacob and said, I'm surprised that you'd ask me my name. Can you be ignorant of who I am? Children, take a good look at your life. Can you honestly sit down and start writing all the things that has happened in your life? And you want to tell me it's happenstance. You want to tell me all the times that something has moved for you supernaturally when it's, you should have been dead, when this and that and the other, and you still asking, what is your name? Now watch how Christ answers this. He doesn't answer this verbally. He doesn't actually answer it directly. So he asks Jacob, what is thy name? And Jacob tells him. But Jacob tells him, not only directly, but indirectly. And he doesn't just tell him in the consensus, okay, well, I'm a supplanter, but he unveils to him his very character. Now he asks Christ what his name is, and Christ says, I'm surprised that you would ask me my name. And notice Jacob called, or asked him his name rather, said, wherefore is thy name? Now what's in the sense of Jacob? Is he wanting to be polite? Is he wanting to have a conversation? He said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. He gave him his name. What do you mean, Brother Donnie? His character. He didn't say, my name is, but he showed what his name was. He blessed him there. Oh, glory. Because God's character is in the projection of his name. So he asks what his name is, and he gives him the meaning of his name, and he blessed him there. He did not say, my name is Christ, my name is Adonai, my name is Elohim, but he gave him the meaning of his name, which the devil could not do. Oh, let me tell you something, children. Those times that you've cried for prayer, oh, God, I'm sick. God, please heal me. The devil cannot heal you. And you were asking for God to move and manifest himself. He did. The next morning you got up and you was better. Come on, the devil can't heal. The devil cannot answer them prayer. It was Christ answering your prayers in an indirect way, wanting you to identify his character. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh. So, when Christ blessed him, what did Jacob do? Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Amen! Amen! Woo! Glory! I feel it all over me. Oh! He changed him. Something internally changed Jacob's. Heart. There is no greater blessing. Amen. Cadillacs will rust down and fall apart. Your BMW and your Dodge and your Volkswagen and whatever more, it'll rust and fall apart. Your house will fall apart and termites will get in it. But if he ever changes your soul, it's termite proof. It's rust proof. It's water proof. It's fire proof. It's Laodicea proof. Amen. It's world proof. So what did he do? He asked, and what is your name? And he goes, whew. And Jacob, whew. So your name is heart changer, life changer, name changer. Oh, I mean, he can say tonight, he's a life changer. Oh, glory. I mean, he can say he's a home changer. He's a church changer. He's a daughter changer, a son changer. How do you know? Because I've had it happen to me. I've had that experience. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel.
For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Why? Because they always believed if you ever saw God, you'd die. Most of my life, till I came to this message, even though I loved him, I was afraid of him. A fear that had bondage. And afraid how I'd meet him. And afraid I'd displease him somehow. And he would be an angry judge that would judge me. Yes, that's one thing I love about this message. When I heard Brother Branham talk about Jesus, he preached Jesus in a way I'd never heard Jesus preach before. And by hearing this message, maybe this message made you mad and took this away and that away from you. Took a lot of things away from me too. My fear, my lack of understanding my position, my lack of understanding the Godhead. I'm glad all them things are gone from me, buddy. I'll tell you one thing. Oh my. But I know as sure as we stand right here sitting in this place tonight that if I die before I get home, I'm at peace with God. I do not fear meeting my Lord. Whether it's by a car wreck or by the body change, whatever it is, this message has helped drive a fear away from my life that I had all my years prior to coming to this word. A fear of meeting God. You know why? Because if you fall in love with the Christ, the word of this message, you will find the personality of the Lord Jesus interwoven in this message. It is not the words of a Kentuckian. It is not the message of a Kentuckian. It is the message from the bridegroom to preach to the bride that she'll be more in love with him than she ever was. And we can say like Jacob, I have seen God face to face. I have seen him. I've heard his word. I have looked into his character.
Hallelujah. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. At the rising of the sun, he was a new man. What's the rising of the sun done for you? Notice where the sun rose. The sun rose not just upon Jabbok or the oleander, but the sun arose upon Israel. Now here he walks away, still fully Jacob, and now fully Israel. How do we walk away from a watery grave, a river, after we cross over through Jordan, through death, and we come across on the other side after the emptying out of Jabbok? How do we come out, across on the other side, after the rising of the sun? We've got this whole carnal element here that'll be with us every day of our life. Carnal, sticky, thorny is going to bother you as long as you live, the prophet said. But you've got a wheat heart on the inside of you. I'm a peculiar looking plant, just like you are. On the outside, I'm a cuckoo burr, but on the inside, I'm wheat. Right? Used to, I was cuckoo burr through and through. In God's mind, I was wheat through and through. But when wheat comes down and takes on a cuckoo burr body, it puts it in a very difficult position. It don't belong here. No wonder said, I don't feel at home in this cuckoo burr body anymore. Amen. You're longing for a change. Don't you see what the change is going to be? The wheat soul will lead the cuckoo burr outside into a wheat change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Why? Because you have power with God. If you've met God and wrestled it out, tell me who can stand before you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The sun is now fully arisen in the east. The man is gone. The marks are still there on the oleander. You can see the imprint. Bushes are broke down. Branches are broken off. Some of the tropical vegetation now laying flat on the ground. The dust is all stirred around. The memories are still made in his mind. And the Bible says, because the sinew shrunk, that the children of Israel no longer eat that part of the muscle. And as they came out of the Babylonian captivity, tradition lost which side that it was actually that God touched, either the left or the right. So the Jews quit eating either side. But when they would kill an animal, they would sell that part to the Christians. Once Christianity came into view, since Christians, it didn't matter to them. So the Jews wouldn't eat that part because God shrunk it. Imagine his wives looking across the river. Oh no. Oh poor God. What? Oh. But there was something about his face. My brothers, when our wives can see this princely behavior in us, we will get the respect that we deserve as sons of God. We'll never get it by trying to demand, I'm the head of the house. Bless God. Out. No, Jacob. No. Your name must be changed to Israel. When you've got power with God, then you know how to run a house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father. I pray, dear God, tonight you would take these simple words. Lord Jesus, as I've been sitting studying this off and on for several weeks now, Lord, my heart has been moved every time I've looked at it. Because I haven't just seen Jacob. I've seen me. I've seen these people. My brothers and sisters that I've met around the world. Us coming to our Jabbok, emptying out to where we can meet you and wrestle with you. Oh God, some of the folks in Christianity are so weak. A little old cigarette devil keeps them out. A little old lust devil keeps them out. But for the elect ever cross Jordan, they're going to have to meet you and wrestle it out. I know people don't understand this about you, Lord. But I'm glad you helped me to be able to comprehend maybe a very small degree of it. But even years ago, that I must first meet you. As you was the one who met that woman that day and told her, I'm not even sent to you, woman. You're a dog. I'm not even sent to your people. Today they'd have called you a racist, Lord, if you'd have said such a thing as that. She met you and she wrestled with you and she won. She said, that's right, Lord. But even the dogs get the crumbs. The prophet of God said she had such faith, even Jesus himself couldn't run her off. She wrestled with you and wrestled with you. And she got a request. Lord, help us, I pray, when we come to the house of God, whether we feel you, whether we don't, we're coming back. When we get down to pray, whether we feel you, whether we don't, if it's pressure, all hell breaks against us, we're going to pray anyhow. We're going to sing, we're going to clap our hands, we're going to do it anyhow. We said, that old devil was in my way. Really, was it the devil? I wonder sometimes, Lord, if it wasn't you trying us. Ain't a preacher standing in this place that you ain't anointed him, Lord. At times he felt like he's going to fly away. There's times he stood and studied and stood up there and preached and battled and battled and battled. And many times I wonder, was it the devil that kept us from it? Or was it you? Was it you trying us to say, will you preach? Will you preach if I pull the anointing back? Help us, God, to see we've got to wrestle it out with you. Then when we do, we've got power with God and with man. If you can't set on me and hold me, what person here, no matter how what they look like, some of them come in here and set on me, Lord, they don't like this and that and the other, and they project their looks, they ought to realize by now they ain't going to set on me. If you can't, they ain't going to. Hallelujah. May these people realize when they come to the house of God, they're not coming here to suit somebody else. Well, so-and-so don't like me, and so-and-so, let them realize they got to wrestle with you, God.
What if they meet you right there at the front door and you say, you ain't going in. You say, yes, I am, Lord. I'll go in that side door if I got to. If I got to, I'll go into Brother Donnie's door and I'll let him in. You ain't keeping me out of church, God. Then you'll say, you've got power with God. Hallelujah. Then no man, no woman, no boy, no girl is going to keep them out.
Help us, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many loves Him tonight with all your heart? Oh, children. Oh, I so love you. There ain't no way in the world I can ever convey to you how much I love you and how it breaks my heart to have to preach hard to you. You don't know what it's like to be a shepherd. Even these evangelists don't know how it feels. You don't know what it's like to be a shepherd and have to preach things that no one is just tearing people all to pieces. You don't know what it's like. I lament for days before I preach things, and then days afterwards. But I love you more than I love my lamentation. I love you more than I love my feelings. Well, I listen to my feelings and I preach it. But you know what? I love you more than that. As long as God will give me breath and give me life, I want to tell you the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't get, only get it in your mind. That's not Brother Donnie. It's not Brother Donnie. Think if that's the word. God is wrestling with you, Brother Jim. God is wrestling with you through the ministry of the word. And you're sitting there trying to, oh God, I don't understand God. I'm wrestling through. Can you imagine Christ testified about Jacob? You have got power with God. You prevailed against God. I realize this is the kind of service you have to chaw on over and over again. Some of you, I feel sorry for you because in the morning about 3:31 a.m., it'll hit you. You'll pile out of the bed and the wife will think, well, he's finally hit him. He's going to start raving mad. Children, if you believe this is divinely inspired of God, pray that God will make it real to you. Hallelujah. We've got a couple that's going to come be baptized tonight. They'll come prepare for that. Harry, let's sing a little something. Worship Him together. Don't you appreciate God's word? Do you see yourself in this story tonight? Now let me show you the stupidity and the ignorance of a human being. I told you that Carol had asked me if I was going to preach on about Jacob. I said, no, I don't think so. I've already preached so much about Jacob before. And in my mind, myself, I thought, what more could be said? I mean, you know, you've preached this and this preacher's preaching. You heard that preacher preach it and heard that preacher preach it. No doubt he was up in heaven just a canary brain. I wonder how much more lays in here that we've never even scratched the surface to. If we can just get out of the way. Sing something.
We'll give up and let Jesus take over. And let Jesus take over. Oh, give up. And let Jesus take over. And He'll make a way for you. Let Jesus take over. I won't give up.
Oh, hallelujah.
And let Jesus, take over.
Sing it now.
Give up.
Come on and give up.
And let Jesus take over. Now if you got mountains that you can climb, oh, and if you got valleys that you can't cross, oh, and if you got rivers that you just can't span, let Jesus take a hold, of your hand.
Take it, children.
Oh, give up and let Jesus
come on, Jacob.
Take
This is my two of my grandchildren. When we walked out in this water, I thought about this earlier today. This is six generations of my family that have had the honor and the privilege afforded us. To some of us, it's been easy. But to some of them, it's not been easy. My great-grandmother, they threw eggs at her, run them out of places, because they come and took on the name of Jesus Christ in baptism. We're especially blessed not just to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but to understand, to live in a time when we've been brought to the knowledge of it's just what this means and what it represents. This is part of the restoration that God promised us.
Amen.
Such a wonderful restoration. We realize that this is not just a ritual. It's not just something we do. It's not just something that's meaningless to us. This is an honor and a privilege. This is little Chloe and little Oliver, my two grandchildren. Just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we just first want to say how much we love you, Lord, and how much we thank you, God. And Father, as I come to this time to baptize, Lord, these are my grandchildren, but you don't have grandchildren, Lord. You just got children. I pray, God, that as you brought them to this water, we call it a watery grave, as I feel this water, Lord God, I realize there's power in the water, not like to change a life, but God, there's power of life and death in water. If we just submerge under the water, Lord, it won't bring us to death because we'll come right back up. But Lord, it's when the water comes into us that it causes a death. It's when we're not just submerged in the water, but when the water is submerged in us, oh God. Tonight, Lord, I pray, God, that you don't just allow the Holy Spirit to be around us, Lord. Don't just let us be immersed as it was in the Holy Spirit, but God, let it come inside. And change us, oh God. Change these two children. Make them new creations, Father. We ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Little Chloe, your heart's desire is for the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. And this is your stepdaughter toward it. Father, I baptize her now according to the commission that you gave us 2,000 years ago in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Baptizing you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for meeting with us tonight in this place. Thank you for once again letting us come to church, Lord. Pray that you go with your children now, Lord. Bring us back at the appointed time. May we ruminate on these things, feed on them, Lord. May the understanding, even days and weeks on down the road, become more clear to us as we ponder and think about it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. Love you in the Lord. Pray for me this weekend. I'm supposed to be down with Brother Fred Mullins Saturday and Sunday, so pray the Lord will help them to gather old Baptist ways down there while I'm there. Brother Andrew Glover will be here with you all on Saturday and Sunday, so we expect the Lord to speak to you during that time. I love you with all my heart. Amen. If something happens that one of us crosses while I'm gone, or if I cross while I'm gone, I'll be waiting for you on the other side. Amen. You'll be waiting for me.
Amen.
God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Hallelujah.
Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. And let Jesus take over. Oh, give up. And let Jesus take over. And He may go away for you. Now if you got burdens that you can't bear, oh, and if you got problems that are more than your share, tell Jesus, for He is the one. Take over, oh, give up, and let Jesus take over, and He'll make a way for you. Church, give up. Let Jesus take over. Oh, give up. And let Jesus take over. Oh, give up. And let Jesus take over.